It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Election season is picking up in a dramatic way, with campaign finance reports coming in and candidates complaining about how their opponents are portraying them. So when the mud starts flying, it's time to turn to the dean of the Arizona Capitol Press Corps, Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. Howie, good morning.
Good morning. I love how you relate me with mud, but that's okay.
Well, we've known each other for a long time, Howie, so truth is truth.
Yes.
Former Mesa Mayor Scott Smith has made accusations against State Treasurer Doug Ducey's gubernatorial campaign. What are his attorneys saying about what Ducey is doing?
In essence, it comes down to the question of whether there's illegal coordination between what was supposedly an independent expenditure, which took some ads, about Scott Smith when he was ending his term as mayor of Mesa, with Ducey's actual campaign. I mean, you're using the same consultants, seem to be using the same material. Are you doing the same opposition research? It becomes one of those circumstantial questions of, can you show coordination here? And that's essentially what it is. You know, there's nothing illegal about the independent committee as long as it's truly independent. This is the same fight we went through with the Tom Horn case. The question becomes, was there coordination there? And if so, any money spent by this committee that was attacking Scott Smith is money that was really spent on behalf of Doug Ducey and may violate campaign finance laws.
Howie, Tom Collins of the Clean Elections Commission might not like me asking this question, but when it comes down to these things, when there are accusations of violations, in Horn's case, we're still hearing about this, and that was it for the 2010 campaign. So how effective are these when someone complains about them?
Well, you have to understand that the complaint is really designed to gather publicity. I mean, we got copies of the complaint probably before the Secretary of State's office, certainly at the same time. And, you know, how quickly can the Secretary of State do something? How quickly can Clean Elections? These investigations will take time, and my guess is will not be done by the time early voting starts in literally 4 weeks. So it's designed to kind of throw, as you say, a little bit of mud out there. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't something behind the complaint, but these complaints are made very publicly for a reason, to get our attention and then to circulate that among the voters.
Who's doing well in fundraising in the race for governor so far, and what does that indicate to you?
Well, it depends on how you define fundraising. Christine Jones has lots and lots of money. As of the last report, she had $2.3 million. Now, however, all but a $200,000 that came out of her own wallet. Does that make her a successful fundraiser? Well, yeah, I suppose she wasn't turned down by herself for the money. You know, Scott Smith's got about $1 million. Doug Ducey has about $2 million. Most of that was not from his own campaign. He's got a lot of business interests, individuals and businesses contributing to him. Everyone else, you have to remember that Ken Bennett and Andrew Thomas are running with public funds. They'll have $750,000 to spend on the primary, and then more if they get to the general. So, you know, the money is all over the board. Obviously, money helps. It gets your message out. You know, Doug Ducey just started a new ad today on border security, on how he's going to, you know, spare no expense to put up fences and satellites and everything else. I'm not sure what he's paying for it with, but, you know, those sort of ads can make a difference, particularly in a low turnout primary, which, you know, could be.
How much do money and strategy have to go together? Can someone with less money but better strategy really make a dent or no?
Oh, you can do a lot with strategy. I mean, the issue for a lot of candidates is what they call in the business earned media. In other words, you do something that causes reporters like us to go out and cover it and give them, you know, free airtime. You can do a lot with earned media. We've certainly seen in many races people have put in bunches of money, not only in candidate campaigns, but in issues campaigns, and have been thoroughly defeated. You know, payday loans is a primary example. The industry, you know, spent, I think it was close to $2 million, and they still got trounced by a much lower financed group that was opposed to it. So you really need to have, you know, the message out there, and you need to be an attractive candidate also. You need to have people believe you. They need to look at your ads. They need to look at your material and say, I trust this person, and I want this person to be the next governor or whatever office we're talking about.
Any word on when Jan Brewer is going to tell us who she wants to be the next governor?
Well, Actually, I just talked to her yesterday, and she said, you know, I'm still interviewing people, and I don't know. And I reminded her, I said, no, you do know the early voting starts in 4 weeks. She said, yeah, that's true. I think that it comes down to, you know, one of three possibilities. I think that, and I'm speaking based from, you know, not anything she told me, I think that she is most ideologically aligned with Scott Smith for two reasons. A, he supports for Medicaid expansion, which most of the rest of them don't, and B, he supports Common Core initiative and Common Core standards, again, which many of them don't. However, you know, she may also want to provide the strongest candidate to run against Democrat Fred Duval. That might end up being Ducey, and the polling will show that. And then option number three is, if you're not sure, stay the heck out of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you back somebody who loses, then, you know, your political credibility sort of falls apart. So I'm not laying money on any of those at the moment.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. A couple more minutes with the Dean of the Arizona Capitol Press Corps, Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. Howie, last night you covered the Clean Elections Horizon Republican Secretary of State debate. Will Cardin, Justin Pierce, Michelle Reagan. I think this is an important question because, as we've seen in Arizona so many times, the Secretary of State can then vault to governor. So what happened last night?
Well, it was kind of interesting because Ted Simons, who hosts the show for Channel 8, said to them, okay, what qualifies you to be governor? I mean, you know, we have had four times in the last four decades situation where the Secretary of State has become the state's chief executive. And Michelle Reagan said, well, you know, I've served in the legislature for 12 years. And, you know, when I talked to Jane Hull, who took over for Evan Meekum, she said it was that experience that helped her walk in, do a budget and everything else. And then, of course, slipping in, and I've been endorsed by Jane Hull, you know, hint, hint, nod, nod. Mm-hmm. Justin Pierce said, well, wait a second, I'm not chopped liver. I've been in the legislature, albeit for only 4 years. And then he said, but I have some real-world experience. I'm a partner at a major law firm, which then caused Will Cardin, who has no legislative experience, to say, you know, look, I have lawyers all the time. You know, they just give advice. You know, you need to be the one to make the decision. You'd be an executive like me. So each of them was trying to say, you know, I would be the best next governor. It's really important, as you point out, for anybody voting for Secretary of State to look beyond the fact that they're the state's chief elections officer and they do certain kinds of business filings and say, what would happen if this person were governor? And that's a real significant question in Arizona, given our history here.
Howie, last question, about a minute left here. So considering the issues Tom Horn's facing, John Huppenthal is facing, this was supposed to be potentially a pretty brutal year for Democrats. Could that be changing?
Well, a lot of it depends, obviously, on what happens in the primary. You know, Tom Horn faces a somewhat formidable challenge by Mark Brnovich, the former state gaming director. But Horn still continues to outraise Brnovich, which suggests he's got at least some backing, and that gets to the question of whether money matters. Huppenthal is another question. You know, he's got a challenge from Diane Douglas, but she seems to be mostly a one-issue candidate about things like Common Core, which Huppenthal supports and she doesn't. A lot of it depends on who comes out of that. How do the Democrats benefit? You know, can Felicia Rodellini benefit from having Horn narrowly beat out Brnovich? Or if Brnovich wins, does Brnovich become a shoo-in? Same thing what happens in terms of Huppenthal and Diane Douglas. You know, how does a Democrat benefit from that? Who comes out of that? Obviously, from the Democrat perspective, I think their belief is they'd be better off with a Diane Douglas, who's sort of a narrow candidate, but you never know. You can do the calculus on this 62 different ways and still not know how it's going to all fall out.
Howie Fisher of Capitol Media Services. Howie, thanks as always.
Very glad to be here.